about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
We interrupt our normal program to cooperate in security and civil defense measures as requested by the United States government. This is a Conelrad radio alert. Normal broadcasting will now be discontinued for an indefinite period.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Hey. You know what I was thinking about the other day, folks? Dinosaurs. Crazy, right?
Yeah, when I talk to it, it says you have to speak in American English. What other kind of English is there? Is there British?
Thanks for asking. I'm going to put this as delicately as I know how. You can chortle my balls.
Am I in hell? I deserve this.
Get ready. Time yourself on this one. You can go to the bathroom. You could, take the dog for a walk, but bring your transistor radio with you.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Level test, level test, level test, test.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Let's do famous threesomes for 200, please.
It's tremendously big and tremendously wet.
Roll another one.
Rady and Durf.
Just like the other one.
Ugh, I'm a sweaty pot.
This one seems to be about quit.
I just realized I do not know this bitch.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Roger that. Hear you loud and clear.
Roll. He's down on the phone.
Just like the other one.
Don't mess with my cheese, bro.
This one seems to be about spent.
Bonk, bonk.
And I don't have another cent.
You're living in a nightmare that starts at the crack of dawn.
Dude, time to hit the exercise machine.
Just pass it around.
Oh, no, you did not.
Viva la France.
And now.
I'm just full of number ones. So it's better than being number two. Or going number two.
Our feature presentation.
I mean, valid point, I guess.
Not wrong.
Sure.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Friday morning, the 22nd of March. What's happening?
Hello.
Hello.
Did you guys see last night on the Kings? Did you see Ron Burgundy?
I did.
He's so funny. I love
him
so much.
So good.
I was watching NCAA games.
Ah.
Oh, were those last night?
Well, I think Kevin, on the other hand, probably has a different feeling than we do.
I don't know what happened, actually, yesterday.
Oh, you're in the lead.
I'm in the lead.
You're winning right now.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
It's a good day.
I mean, it hurts to know a guy who doesn't know he's in the lead is winning, but sure.
Can I share something with you?
Yeah.
Your bracket is called my fabulous bracket.
I don't know because...
That's the one that just comes
with
it.
Yeah, it was a generic one.
Yeah, he has a generic one.
Okay, because there's a couple other
Kevins. There's two other Kevins, yeah.
But yeah.
One is Klein, one is our boss.
Are we sure it's you, though?
Yeah.
Are we sure this one is Kevin?
Yes.
Okay, then I have some news for you, and mm-hmm. I'm not sure if you know this. On your bracket,
mm-hmm.
which I'm looking at right now, you have not declared a national champion.
You only did the first round, Kevin.
No, that's not true because I picked the finals.
No, it's in the final four. You have no national champion.
Okay,
I'm looking at a circle and it says none.
Okay, but wait.
I'm looking at it and I saw it last night and I'm like, which idiot Kevin is that?
Wait a minute.
Uh-huh.
Because I picked the final game.
You picked the final
and the
game
score.
And the score.
Well, then, of course, whoever wins that game.
By the way, Kevin has a point, but he's also wrong because he didn't pick a winner.
You didn't pick the winner, so who had that high score?
Kevin, you're such a disease.
Oh.
So you're saying I wrote down all the way to the final, I picked the two teams in the final.
And the score.
And I gave a final
you
score.
You sure did.
But I didn't put who's going to win?
Unless I'm looking at this wrong, but I'm not because I'm looking at it and I'm right. Oh, Kevin. God damn it.
And he's in the lead.
By the way, I can still technically win, right?
No.
Why not?
Because I'm looking at the numbers. You have a possibility of 159 points. So unless everybody tanks.
Well, I'm saying people lose as the tournament goes along.
If everybody tanks in the biggest way possible.
If no one picks the winner, he would still have a chance. But yes, that would be the only way.
That would...
Oh, that's not true at all, because I could be way ahead on points, no?
You could. You
People
could be
drop points throughout the whole...
Sure.
Stop being optimistic.
I'm just saying I could still win and having not picked a champion.
Right.
Oh, it's so great just seeing national champion none.
Right?
It just says none. He thinks two teams are going to win and there will be no winner. Oh. It's an existentialist problem.
Hold
more
on,
than
I want
it
you
is
to
a...
show me where... I, where
Come
I...
here,
okay.
Look at this.
Where was I
so
supposed to put
you
it?
Were supposed to click one of these two and then that would have popped up into this gray circle.
But I put, oh, down here. Oh, and the score.
I would just like to note that I'm currently in second place and I did pick a winner.
Oh, congrats.
Well done.
I didn't pick a winner.
Also, by the way, you're ranking nationally pretty good.
Well, I mean, it's one day, but I'll take it.
Still, 6,000. You're 6,473, which sounds like a lot. Until you hear, I'm 1.7 million.
Really?
For real. Wow. My ranking is 1.7 million. You're at 6,000. It's pretty good.
I'm going to say again, I could win. How many people are in our pool?
16.
16?
Yeah.
I could easily win without having picked a champion.
Well, all I know is you should start looking at that Cameo website. Because I don't think you got a shot, baby.
I saw that last night and just went, oh, Kevin.
That's so funny.
Good time.
Did you feel bad or did you laugh? Be honest.
I laughed and then felt so bad about how hard I was laughing.
Pick a winner. There truly is no winner in college sports, though. No one gets paid. They treat them weird. So you were making more of a political stance.
Yeah, exactly. Is that what you were doing? Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Jensen, for giving me an out on that. I mean, I did put probably a minute and a half into it.
Right. I was just curious last night to see who everybody picked as the national champ.
Right.
And then I got to yours and I was like,
didn't pick it.
Oh, it's just a gray circle. But really, aren't we all a gray circle?
Deep down.
No, we're not.
Deep down. We're all gray circles.
Yeah, deep down.
I didn't pick a winner. Okay, so that's funny because I didn't pick a winner.
Right.
But if I win having not picked a winner,
amazing.
That's even
funnier. Are you kidding?
It is
amazing.
On brand. It's
on.
Absolutely. So we'll see.
Absolutely.
He's got a shot.
All right, we're going to talk about Ron Burgundy on the Kings later on this morning because it was fantastic.
Yeah.
But I did not realize that I had submitted my bracket without a champion.
I mean, a lot of... Nobody does it.
I mean, everyone does it.
No, I meant nobody does what you did.
Oh, I see. I just decided to go a different direction.
Quitters never give up.
Exactly. Because it's so much more of a burn if I win this
Sick
way.
Burn.
Which is what I was thinking about.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Kevin, God damn it.
Right? We'll have some more March Madness updates. Great.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. I'm looking forward to that. The B-Team podcast has uncovered an old interview that Bean and I did with Richard Simmons.
Yeah, I listened to it last night, and this was a moment.
We went to his studio, right?
Yes.
For Sweating to the Oldies or whatever it was?
Yeah, Slimmons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I remember that, and then I also remember that for some reason he was laying in the middle of the street where traffic was, and I was going, come on, just drive over him. That's all I remember.
You may have offered people a couple $100 to murder him.
What?
It was a weird night.
It's Richard Simmons.
Look.
It's pretty crazy.
I don't know.
Also, the women in the class, whatever, we'll hear about it later, but let's just say that the plumper women in the class may have hated you.
Oh, I think they all hated us.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it was just part of them.
Right.
I think they all hated us because we went in there and we were jerks.
Yes.
Sure.
I mean, Bean was.
Yeah, you would know.
I'm pretty cool. Ashley Escada is on the program today. Those robocalls might stop.
Yeah. Really?
That's the dream.
I'd love that.
Plus the new Google platform.
Yeah, there's a new video game system.
We're going to talk about that this morning. Jeff Tremaine is going to join us in studio.
The director of The Dirt.
The Dirt, about Motley Crue.
How are they alive, you guys?
How are they alive?
No clue.
How were they alive at 1 year in, and then 5 years in, and then 10 years in? It just is...
By 87, all of them should have been dead.
Boggles
mind. You mean 1987?
Yeah. No, they're not going to make it to 87.
No,
that'd be ridiculous.
No.
And it's Friday, so we've got Keep It 100 as well. We'll take a break. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:55. Allie McKay, what is happening?
What is happening is global subscriptions for online services like Netflix and Amazon Hulu have exceeded cable subscriptions for the first time ever.
Yeah.
Streaming sense. Services added 131.2 million new subscriptions for a total of, are you ready for this? Mm. How many people subscribe to streaming services? 613 million people.
Wow. I mean, it's all going that way.
Absolutely. Cable subscriptions fell 2%. Their total, 556 million. That's 613 million for streaming to cable, 556. And that they're not going to get a jump in cable anytime
soon.
No,
I don't think so either. Wow, that's crazy.
Netflix is so popular that it affects the internet.
Yes.
Like when everyone is streaming, it affects the entire internet.
Meaning what? It slows it down
yeah.
so
mm-hmm.
that you can't. Wow.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
It is crazy. Kevin, I'm doing this story for you because it
Thank
involves
you.
The royal family.
Oh, you know how much I love them.
You love them. Well, Prince Harry went to chat with a bunch of students at St. Vincent's Catholic Primary School.
They didn't touch him, did they?
However,
because they'd be put down.
As excited as most of the kids were, there was one that was just like not having it at all. And he tapped Prince Harry and said, "When is Prince Harry coming?" To which he responded, "But I'm Prince Harry." And the kid said, "But when's the real Prince Harry coming?"
This kid, man, 2020.
How about that?
So Prince Harry replied, "I'm the real Harry. I've just had my hair cut for the occasion." And the kid was like, "No, still not buying it."
Wow.
This is a four-year-old little boy. Comes to find out because he said to his teacher, "Dude ain't wearing a crown. That is no prince." And Prince Harry wound up saying, "Listen, when I don't show up places with a crown or a cape, kids don't believe that I'm an actual prince." So he shows up even in a nice suit, whatever. And like you said, he got his hair cut. What's it going to take?
That's
a
funny.
Crown and a cape. I just thought that was so dang cute, you guys.
I think a scepter could be added.
A scepter for sure.
Something to convince the kids.
Absolutely.
See, kid's got a point.
That's
kid
funny.
Has an like a four-year-old, all you know are princes wear capes and a crown.
That's true. Yep.
Don't be coming here with your ragtag little ginger head. Cover that. The crown. Right.
You also say anything that comes to your mind when you're a four-year-old.
Oh, absolutely.
There's no filter whatsoever.
Yeah.
I love, though, that his immediate thought, though, was, "Oh, I got a haircut. Maybe that's what's really confusing him."
Well, he is probably trying to figure out why this kid doesn't buy
it. A haircut?
Well, I don't know what you go with.
This four-year-old knows me with more of a shaggy do. Oh, for the love. You guys, Monica Geller, we know her as Courtney Cox,
mm-hmm.
Monica Geller from Friends.
You're supposed to flip those.
Courtney Cox, we know her as Monica Geller from
go.
Friends. See, I know Courtney Cox as the lady from the Bruce
Springsteen video.
Ad,
yeah, we all
where
know
she's
that.
Dancing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Her most famous thing.
Yeah. So she shared a video of herself walking towards the iconic West Village apartment that serves as the exterior in Friends.
Mm-hmm.
And then she tells people off camera, "Good night, I'm going home." And then the Friends music plays. But I like what she captioned the video on her Instagram. She captioned it, "The one where my rent went up $12,000. So that's the name of the episode. Because really, can you imagine? And in this article, according to CNBC, the median rental price for a two-bedroom apartment in the West Village, how much do you think? Because I thought this was extremely low for New York City for
really?
A two-bedroom.
Are we talking, did you say rent or buy?
Rental in the West Village.
The average.
Yes, this is median.
Two-bedroom median.
$20,000.
Jesus.
Oh, that's...
What are you...
No.
No.
This is the average.
How much is milk in your world?
It's a great question.
New York?
All right.
$114.
$4,200.
Oh, okay. See, it's $4,500.
Close.
But I thought even the median would be around 55 to 6.
Well, I was throwing like rat-infested.
Rat-infested.
Yeah, I was throwing every garbage can in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
$4,500 per month.
I want to live in Kevin's land.
Right? 20 grand. He finds like a place for 10 grand. He's like, "What a bargain. We'll take it."
You look over there and he's just burning money in front of us.
Right? This is happening in your world. But really, a great question. Let's go back to it. How much is milk, Kevin?
$114. I told you
okay,
that.
Okay, excellent.
Thank you.
Well done. Some birthdays for you. We've got Reese Witherspoon, Bob Costas, Matthew Modine. I dated a lovely man from Montreal, and I asked him on one of our first dates what he wanted to do, and he said, I'd like to see that movie with Matthew Modine. And I cannot say Matthew Modine without saying Matthew Modine.
He's really a fan of Matthew Modine.
He loved Matthew Modine.
What do you want to do tonight on this date? I want to go see Matthew
Modine. I want to see Matthew Modine. Oh, understandable. He's a delight. Wolf Blitzer, Keegan-Michael Key, Constance Wu, and William Shatner.
Mama. Just kill a man, put a gun against his head, pulled my trigger, now he's dead. Mama.
Okay, we'll get back to you, yeah.
You sound like a proud winner.
Well, I mean, I'm ahead.
You currently are...
Am I ahead?
Very much ahead in our bracket for the NCAA tournament.
Right.
You currently have 15 correct picks.
How about that?
Which puts you at a very shockingly high number. You are ranked in the 6,000s. So 6,473rd.
Out of everybody.
In the entire Yahoo like universe. Which sounds like a lot until you realize I'm at 1.7 million.
Wow.
That and Allie and I are tied.
Yeah.
I'm so much better than
so
you
much
guys.
Better. So much better. So much.
Until this morning when we clicked on your bracket to see what kind of future you have, right? Because when you're in the lead, we're like, does he have a winner? Who does he have moving on to the Elite Eight? Those kind of questions. Mm-hmm. And we realized quickly that even though you have two great picks, Duke and Wisconsin as your Final Four, along with Gonzaga and Kentucky.
Right.
You have Duke and Kentucky in the final game. Those are favorites.
Right.
Right.
And Duke winning.
Well, no. You didn't.
But I picked Duke to win.
But you didn't select a winner. So,
but I put the score.
You put the score in because that's the tiebreaker, you know, for our entire tournament. Mm-hmm. But there's just a gray circle at the top of your bracket, and it under national champion. You know what it lists as the team?
No.
None.
Yeah.
None. You made a political statement saying that no matter how hard college players work this season, no one is a winner when you're not paid and you're not, you know, all these
schools. That was my statement?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing I could come up with as to why you didn't select a winner in your bracket.
Yeah. The fact that you put in the score.
I put in the score.
That's the... you're almost done with the bracket.
I was
now
done.
We don't know who had the higher score, who was the winner, which would be the tournament winner.
So people who
so that circle on the top. I just tweeted this out too at Kevin
at Kevin and Bean, and we'll retweet it.
Yes, and it has a gray circle
And the word none.
None.
Yeah, none.
It says none. So, but is it possible that I could still win?
It would be possible because if you got both the teams right, but. Goal is, I mean, someone is going to pick the winner. If so,
no, I'm not talking about in the Yahoo world. I'm talking about in our pool.
In our pool, sure.
I could easily.
Sure.
Not even need the final.
I think easily is a bit of a stretch.
Yeah.
But I think there is a way you could win, yeah. And
okay.
So people are up to date. Kevin is in the lead. We have Christine in third. Ruben, who's a...
Chip is second.
Oh, Chip is second.
Yeah, you didn't see her real
name. Didn't even see it. Chip is second. Christine in third. Ruben in fourth. Mm-hmm. Jared.
Yes, our receptionist.
Our receptionist.
Yes. He's the best.
He is also... Basically, there's a tie up top for third. So, mm-hmm. I mean, Allie and I tied for ninth.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Isn't good.
Not great.
I mean, it's
however,
not great, because Allie won last year.
Not only did I win last year, I feel like I won just by my bracket name.
Your bracket name is?
All Zion Me. Right? A little Tupac, All Eyes on Me joke, along with Zion from Duke. Boom!
I'm going to love
nailed
that.
It. Thank you so much. Thank you.
I'm walking away from it.
I feel good about it. However, I don't even think I have Duke going to the Final Four. No, I don't. Duke isn't even in my Final Four.
I mean, let's be honest. There's no guarantee anyone will.
Right.
We're all guessing. But...
I think we found out yesterday from AJ Bell that there's like 9 million different ways.
What about RJ Bell? What did he say?
Oh. A.J. Belt, former Major League Baseball player. R.J. Belt, who's a pro, by the way.
Yes.
He's also tied for third with 12 points. He's three below you, Kevin.
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's what we all expect.
He did pick a winner, though. last night's games, did you watch any?
I did not, no. I was watching the Kings game.
Well, the one that I was like most excited to get into was Minnesota versus Louisville. And that's because Minnesota is coached by Richard Pitino.
Okay, Rick?
Who, yeah, well... Uh-huh.
Rick's son?
Son.
Yeah.
But what you have to remember is Rick Pitino's college career ended in like a very terrible way.
Oh, I don't remember
that. He was fired
that.
From Louisville for a pay, you know, like a payment scandal.
Didn't realize that. Like college, a bribery thing?
Yes, for college players getting them to come to his school. And so this was like a big deal for him as the son of a disgraced father. He went out and they beat Louisville.
How about that?
And after the game, they asked him, and he was like, no, you know, it's not a big deal. But you know, at home, he's like doing flips. to remind people, too, we should remind people about this side bet.
Yes, we have a side bet between just the three of us.
Yes.
Jensen, Allie, and myself.
The two losers between us split it and buy a Cameo video, which for people who don't remember, we've been talking about it for weeks, trying to figure out how it's going to tie into the show. We pay a celebrity, sometimes in quotes celebrity, sometimes not. We're gonna pick a celebrity to make a video for the winner.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, we can spend up to $100. Names like Corey Feldman.
Dr. True is
only $98. We've been really looking at this. We could get, by the way, both Pratts.
Wow.
Both Pratts.
Spencer right? and his wife Heidi
Montag. Oh, I went Chris, and I was like, that's same. Insane. Why is he doing that?
You think Chris Pratt's on Cameo?
So low.
I don't know.
And
what?
Then we could get him for $100.
I was wondering who
but
the
wait,
other Pratt was.
Let me ask a question. When I win,
uh-huh.
and the two of you pick a Cameo,
right.
do you get to tell them what to say to me?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Okay, so you could still, I could still get.
Oh, no, we're going to ruin you.
But how's that fair?
Also, you didn't pick a winner. We're not going to be making you a video. You're going to be making me or Allie a video.
I'm saying I could still win without picking a winner.
I wish I had that kind
I
of optimism.
I picked the final two teams in the championship.
And
I picked
the score. And the score.
Sure.
So I feel pretty good.
What if, stay with me here.
Yes.
Kevin has a perfect bracket the first time ever in the world.
I didn't pick a winner.
And he didn't pick a winner.
So great.
That would be the most me thing ever, wouldn't it?
That would be great. Other highlights from yesterday's games, if you're looking into following this weekend, because, you know, second round also starts this weekend.
Correct.
Ja Morant, who I kind of had on my radar because he's like a top three pick coming out into the NBA this year.
Who's he play for?
He's in, he plays for, Marquette Murray.
Okay.
So it's the school that no one, I mean, that's the best part about this kind of tournament.
Murray mm-hmm. State?
Oh, Murray State.
Yeah.
Murray. He basically has he had a triple double in the game.
Wow.
Which is the first time anyone's done it, I think since 2012. It was Draymond Green who was the last one to do it. And I guess everyone's eyes are on Zion, obviously.
All eyes. Yeah, that's what I heard.
But if you're following this dude, I feel like he's kind of, and also if you're a Lakers fan mm-hmm. and you're going to be having a lottery pick,
right.
You'd be watching these games with a different kind of eye. And
yeah,
I think
true.
Morant is the kind of the standout from yesterday.
As someone that didn't watch the game, but saw that Michigan State was trending on Twitter and I clicked on it and it was all about, they're going to lose this game. What's happening? And quite frankly, they're my national champion.
Oh, wow.
Should I feel bad that they almost lost in the first round?
Well, you should feel mostly bad about Michigan State's coach, Tom Izzo.
Oh, I just like him because I always think of, I always say T to the Izzo.
Sure you do.
And it just makes
of
me
course.
Happy.
He was screaming at a true freshman on the sideline. Screaming.
Well, I would too if I was ranked second and I was about to lose in the first round.
Yeah, he was screaming.
I don't know,
Allie.
Sometimes almost losing is exactly what the team needs to go, look, we really need to step up and play well. I think you might be all right still.
Thank you.
Gonzaga, who RJ Bell didn't like.
Right. He said they were going to not probably, but they're the weakest of the top four.
No, they destroyed their team.
Okay.
So 87-49. Also, they look like they have a pretty nice run right now. I think you might be wrong.
I have them going to the Elite Eight.
You might have the right decision
against
there.
Michigan, then they lose to Michigan.
Did you guys know where Wofford was?
No, I don't know where about a third of these teams are from.
In West Virginia?
Is it?
I don't know.
To be honest with you, this is Gonzaga. When I was a kid, when they made the NCAAs, you had no idea who they were.
Clue.
You were like, what? And now they're kind of like a powerhouse.
Yeah.
But Wofford. Carolina.
Spartanburg, South Carolina.
All right. After one day, is there a Cinderella yet? It's hard to after one day, but...
It's always hard to say after one day, but I...
And would it be me? Because I'm going to win with no champion.
No, you're Cinderella because you wear women's clothing.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:56, just after the top of the hour. The B-Team podcast has uncovered an old interview that we did with Richard Simmons. And apparently it's bizarre. Apparently no one liked us. Apparently, Richard Simmons, for some reason, was laying down in the middle of the street.
Listen, when an interview ends with your interviewee laying in the street wishing for oncoming traffic, I think something went awry. I'm just saying.
So that's what the B-Team does on their podcast, the B-Team podcast. You can get it at the same place you get the Kevin and Bean podcast. And they go back and take a look at old interviews and stuff that we've done in the past. And that is coming up. Some highlights of that is coming up just after 7 o'clock. We will do that, but right now, Allie is here with what's happening.
I'd like to give something away, you guys. How about a pair of one-day passes to WonderCon Anaheim 2019? Yeah! Wow! Kids and large applause. Excellent. It's all going down at the Anaheim Convention Center March 29th through the 31st. How about colors 1 through 3? We're going to give you those tickets, 1-800-520-1067. And you're going to get to go down to Anaheim and see really cool stuff at WonderCon Anaheim 2019. For more details, you can also go to comic-con.org.
Call now.
1-800-520-1067.
She just said that.
Had mentioned that. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Cardi B, you guys, she's making some big money moves.
When you look like Shaq.
Just what she does. She is now locking up her insanely popular catchphrase to use on some upcoming products. Do you guys know what her catchphrase is?
I do not.
I mean, I am one with the streets, so I do know that it's okra.
All right, let's hear Cardi do it. I'm not saying that this is basically Chip's nightmare because you have to do the three R's. You have to roll your R's, which Chip, have you ever heard Chip's rolling of her R's?
No.
It is awesome.
It is magical. Chip,
it's like she's just right there, just a native Spanish speaker. Just give us a little of your R rolling, Chip.
You're going to eat your words because I've been practicing.
Okay.
No, but seriously.
Say perro.
Perro.
Say it with the rolling of the R's.
Perro.
What? Come on, Chip.
You have a tongue?
I can't do it.
Try it again. No size. Do it, Chip.
I'm going to try not to laugh. Hold on.
What?
That's real. That is honestly her best attempt.
It's going to ship everybody.
I want to note you guys are making fun of a speech impediment.
All right, okay. I don't think we are, but okay.
I think you're making fun of Mexicans.
So she is going to, Cardi B is going to trademark.
Huh?
All of a sudden I'm from Boston. She's going to trademark that catchphrase, the okr. There it is. So she could do it for paper goods, cups and posters, clothing line featuring her pants, shirts and hoodies, possibly.
I hope to have a hoodie that says on it.
Yeah. She described her catchphrase as a cold pigeon in New York City. I mean,
that's a good answer.
Really?
I mean, it's ridiculous, but how else would you describe it?
Cardi B is great, guys. I know that it's going to be easy to make fun of her because she's popular. And
she feels gimmicky to me.
I don't really know. I wish it was a gimmick because then I'd be like, oh, this is such a good gimmick. I feel like we're getting the most real her ever.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. I don't know. She's great.
There you have it. Right there. So look for that in the future.
Excellent.
And David Letterman was on Ellen. Hmm. Did you guys look at any of this interview?
No,
I didn't know that happened.
It's really interesting. She had him on because she is going to be a guest on his second season of My Next Guest Needs No Introduction. So she said, hey, why don't you come and sit down and talk to me? And I thought this was a really interesting thing that he said. He said, here's the mistake I made. I stayed on television way too long. And I'll tell you what happened. It turns out nobody had the guts to fire me. And I should have left like 10 years ago.
Wow.
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah. It's interesting, though. If you feel like you stayed too long at a job and you're someone like David Letterman, that would bother me. It would bother me that I didn't go out when I felt like I should have gone out.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that he's that way, too. Thinks that way.
I just don't remember the shows being all that terrible in the end.
They weren't.
No.
They weren't.
I think David Letterman's terrible would be most
people's good.
Late night's dream. Yeah. Absolutely.
That was my Jimmy Fallon.
That was good. Nailed it. Oh, dear. Some birthdays for you. We've got Reese Witherspoon, Bob Costas, Matthew Modine, Wolf Blitzer, Keegan-Michael Key, Constance Wu, and William Shatner.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
Yeah. That's my favorite part of the song.
Yeah. About an hour from now, Jeff Tremaine comes in studio. He is the director of The Dirt, which is a story about Motley Crue.
Mm.
Very exciting. Dave the King of Mexico is in here.
Screw the crew, right, Kevin?
Right. We did do a Screw the Crew campaign for a while when they were trying to come back. And Tommy Lee was not fond of that, and we cannot play his email. I mean, his voicemail.
Uh-oh.
Unfortunately, it's not playable.
Well,
Dave, what did you find?
Well, I host, along with DJ Omar Khan and K-Rock's Beer Mug, the B-Team podcast, mm-hmm. where we go and comb through the Kevin and Bean archives and find old interviews and recent interviews, and we talk about it, and we discover things for the very first time. Omar discovered your interview with Richard Simmons.
Now, a lot of this stuff maybe happened before you guys were on the show or before
Omar?
Oh,
this is way before we were on the show. Yeah, because we're all hearing this for the very first time.
Yeah, and calling it an interview is a bit of a stretch.
Yeah, you guys went out. First of all, what's the week of dicks?
I
have no idea.
What I guessed from it is that you featured different Richards every day.
I see. Okay. That's very possible, but I don't remember. Like, I don't remember much of anything about this.
I think that you celebrated different Richards every day.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, you go, you meet Richard. I guess he had a club called Slimmin's?
Yeah, it's up until recently.
He was like a dancer to the oldies
until a couple years ago,
yeah.
He put out those videos and everything. And
oh, those were sold out. That was where you went on weekends to go to a Slimmin's class, and then you take pictures with them after. It was huge.
Yeah. It was basically what the Disappearance of Richard Simmons podcast was all about, is that he stopped doing those classes.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's how they found out he disappeared?
Yeah. What year was this? Do you know?
I have no idea.
Early 90s.
Yeah, it had to be early 90s.
Okay.
But
I kind of think it might be in the 80s.
No, because we started in 1990. Yeah. So maybe it was
early. It's early 90s because you referenced Sweatin' to the Oldies, which is not a mid-90s thing.
Okay.
So your early 90s, late 80s could only work for Sweatin' to the Oldies.
Okay.
Well, here you guys are. Approaching Slimmin's.
Here's the problem. The class is in session. Right. They're already dancing. We need to figure out a way to slide in so that they don't notice it yet. We're the only guys in the room next to Richard who weigh less than 300 pounds.
Oh.
So let's figure out a way to just slide on in, okay? Here we go. We're going into Slimmin's. We're just going to go right through the door and just pretend we've been in the class since the beginning.
So
we did a lot of making fun of fat people in the early days.
That's what you're facing here.
There was a lot of that.
I think you could see where we're going to get hit with this.
Can we not play the rest
of
this?
You're walking into a firing squad.
Oh, no.
All right. So you guys finally meet Richard Simmons.
Oh, my God. It's that guy from Sweatin' to the Oldies. He's looking at his watch. I think we're late.
He looked at his watch and then he grabbed his package. What was that supposed to mean?
I'm not sure. Really, when he grabs his package, what is he really grabbing? You know, you've heard the stories about... All right, we're leaving now. I've never been so embarrassed.
You're late.
We're going to be fine.
You're late.
We'll be okay right over here.
What do you think happens to late people?
I'm terrified.
Do you remember what happens to late people?
I do not. I don't remember what happens to late people.
You have to dance in the front of the class.
Oh, no.
So let's find out what you guys actually have to do.
What happens to late people? I don't even know. We're in front of the class now. What are we doing here? Singing.
What is this?
Come on, keep it in. I am so exhausted, man. I never want to exercise again as long as I live. Are we done?
All right, so it's not bad enough that we're making fun of people who are overweight.
Yeah.
These are people who accept that they're overweight and are at a class to do something about it.
Right.
That makes it so much
worse.
And
they sound like they're having a good
time.
They're
having a great time, and we're just a-holes.
And these two skinny yahoos come in and mock their workouts.
I'm embarrassed. I'd rather not play this.
And Richard listens to the show. Like, he listened, at least, to the show, and he knew some of the specific fat jokes you were saying on air.
This is where it kind of turns.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
You broke my heart, guys.
Oh, we were here.
You broke my heart.
We were here.
When I listen to your show, I listen to it. I don't put it on and walk out of the room.
Oh, I see.
Okay? I mean, you really hurt me deeply.
Okay.
Why didn't you come in there and participate?
Well, we came in there, and then when you brought us right up to the front of the class, we felt like fools.
And I don't know the words to Oklahoma. You know what I mean? I can't be in the room there being the only guy not singing Oklahoma.
Ready? Homa. Homa,
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 Homa, Homa. We know we belong to the land. Come on! And the land we belong to is written. What do I know? The Godzilla theme song? Should I know that?
By the way, that is a pretty good sound.
That's him laughing.
For laughing, yeah.
Yep.
So everyone's having a good time.
Are
I
they?
Think, right?
Yeah.
And then, Kevin, you want to tell a joke.
Oh, no. Hmm.
Do you take back all those things you've said about overweight people?
I'm telling you right now. Let me say something.
No, the Delta Burke stuff.
That
Kevin.
Was a funny joke.
Kevin.
Hang on one minute. Hang on. Come over here. Come over here, ma'am. Come over here. All right, we told a joke that he got offended at. Now tell me if this is funny. We're talking about the Olympics.
I don't want you to tell this joke.
Wait, who am I telling it to?
You're someone in the class.
A heavy person in the class.
You're asking him if you think this is funny. And if she didn't think it was funny, you wouldn't talk it. You wouldn't tell it anymore. And he's like, okay, I agree to that.
What is wrong with me? Okay.
She doesn't think it's funny. I won't tell her again.
What she... Oh, really?
I won't tell her again.
Okay. Whisper to her. I don't want this to be on. I don't want to hear this again. Whisper the joke.
Get the joke out then.
Do we know what the joke was?
No.
No, we never heard it.
Oh, thank God.
But he didn't like it, so he decided to take action.
Richard, you're walking down the middle of the road. That could be dangerous. He looks like he's got little puppy dog eyes out there, Kevin.
All right, stop, Richard. Let us just say one more thing.
He was, I think we were in Beverly Hills
where
the studio
you
was.
You guys were in West Hollywood.
Yeah. And there was literally a street with traffic right in front of it.
Yes.
And he's walking out into.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
I'm just gonna
we're not making fat jokes.
I'm just going to throw myself in front of this truck.
Hold on. Don't run over Richard Simmons. No, get him out of the road.
Fine. Then you won't have me as the problem anymore. Fine.
All right. Go ahead. Come on.
Go ahead.
Come on through.
Hold on. Let's talk to the driver of the van here. Ma'am, what's your name?
Sue.
Sue, Richard Simmons is laying in the middle of the road here, and we say go ahead and just step on the gas.
No, I wouldn't do that to
him. I'll give you $100 right now to just gun it.
Nah.
$200.
No.
$300.
No.
$400.
No.
Listen to Bean, by the way.
Yeah, just trying to get Richard Simmons killed.
Yeah, why?
By the way, if she runs over him, he murdered her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's the murderer. He's paying someone to murder him.
So then Bean would go to jail because he was paying somebody to murder.
Now, Kevin,
not me, though, because I didn't offer him money.
No, you were safe there.
You guys used to have Richard Simmons on a lot.
We did, yeah.
And what was going on here? Why did this happen?
Dude, I don't remember.
It seems that
by the way, here's the thing.
Yeah.
It was a running gig of his. Like, he would go on Letterman, and the same thing would happen. Letterman would make better, funnier fat jokes, and Richard would be offended. And like, that was a thing at the time.
Yes.
We did it poorly. We're not Letterman.
Yeah, well, you guys get him out of the street and go back to class and face the music. Here's the end.
What are they all yelling about?
I don't know, but I believe they're turning on us.
What are they all yelling about? Wait a minute. What?
These are the heavy classmates yelling at you.
I don't think you could beat us. Because you go class. You couldn't even handle 10 minutes of a class for fat lady.
We gotta go now. All right, we're out of time. We'll see you guys later.
Bye.
Wow.
So to recap, you go.
I don't think we need a recap.
Richard Simmons, he goes, lays in the middle of busy street.
Mm-hmm.
You offer to run him over. You offer money to run him over. And then you mock the ladies
in
the class.
We're not proud of everything we did. Can we leave it at that?
I mean, the police probably have some.
We're always grateful when people see things in the news and think of us.
Yeah.
And people have DM'd us and tweeted at us and Instagrammed at us and everything about this Florida man thing that you're supposed to do. The challenge. You Google your birthday in Florida, man, and then whatever story comes up is hilarious.
Yeah, I was terrified when I started getting them. Have you done the Florida man challenge? I'm like, do I have to eat a face? Like, what do I need to do? Oh.
Here's a news report explaining exactly what it is.
A new viral sensation is taking over social media and has tons of people laughing. It's called the Florida man challenge, and it's making its rounds on Twitter. It's pretty simple to participate. Twitter user G_Pratima issued the challenge to enter the words Florida man, followed by your birthday, into a Google search and sift through the results to see what a man from the Sunshine State did on or near your birthday. For example, on December 8th, a WFTS headline reads, quote, Florida man yells there's no Santa at holiday event. There are some really bizarre headlines. If someone has a November 19th birthday, their search might turn up this one from WTVJ saying, quote, Florida man on bicycle arrested after tussling with police at Taco Bell. The official Twitter Moments handle even joined in on the fun with this tweet saying your new zodiac sign is the headline that comes up when you participate in the challenge.
All right, so we want to try the challenge?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, do you want to hear some highlights from ones I found?
Sure, please.
Mark Hoppus, friend of the show of band Blink-182 and Simple Creatures, he said his birthday, Florida man arrested, accused of shoving woman to get egg rolls. Very good one. There's what else? Oh, this is from Samuel Lewis at Slew14. This Florida man thing really never does fail to let you down. And then a picture of his response, which was Florida man attacks partially blind man in a Minion costume.
I love it.
So basically, it's whatever happened in Florida on that day.
Yeah.
Your
at
birthday.
At any point. But not at even the year. Yeah, I don't have to add the year.
So you just put in your birthday. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Okay, hold on.
All right.
Allie, you want to start?
Well, give me a second.
Or Jensen, you want to start?
Give me a second.
Okay. I just got mine.
Oh, okay, well, I got mine. Okay, I'll go first. Is that cool?
Yeah,
sure.
Or do you want to go first?
No, go ahead.
All right. Mine's not great. Florida man tells cops his name is Ben Dover. So I assume that's his fake name.
I sure hope so.
It's Florida.
His name is actually Andrew Layton.
Ben Dover.
He was arrested for resisting an officer, which seems like that's like a bar mitzvah for someone from Florida. Like, you have to do that to become a man.
Right.
That's a good one.
That's good.
Allie, what about yours?
I mean, the headline is Florida man charged in naked rake attack. But I was just scrolling this. Can I read you some highlights?
Yeah. Please.
So this guy, Maurice Castaneda, breaks into someone's home. They start yelling, get out of my house. The man, Bill, shoved him to the side yard. He then said Castaneda grabbed his rake. The man's wife runs out, tossed her husband a hatchet.
Oh,
what?
But then he realized he had a better weapon in his truck, so he got a hammer.
Upgrade.
And he just kept hitting the naked rake guy with a hammer.
Yes.
Naked rake guy took away, and here is the most Florida line I've ever read. Castaneda retrieved his boxers from a nearby swamp and took off. Oh my god!
That's very good.
Possible.
Happy birthday to you.
That's amazing. Thank you, June 12th.
All right, here's mine, putting in March 29th.
Yeah.
West Palm Beach. After spending the day golfing, drinking, and doing drugs with his 74-year-old father, James Jimmy Scandarito went outside for a smoke break. When he came back inside, his dad was dead.
That doesn't seem like a Florida story.
Have you been listening to the segment?
I typed in March. What do you want from me? I typed in my birthday.
This is just a sad
story. Wait, it gets worse.
No, I don't think we need it.
How? It's supposed to have like a gorilla in it.
Is there a
from
goat?
A zoo.
Yeah. A goat and his name is...
Or meth.
He told the jury at his first-degree murder trial...
Oh, God.
Tuesday, that he was scared to death that he'd be blamed for what he thought was his father's fatal overdose. Over the next several days.
His dad was a drug addict.
Over the next several days, he...
Okay, here comes the funny part.
Here's got to be the joke.
All right, let's hear it.
Over the next several days, he
robbed a laundromat and took all the clothes and then dressed in it all?
Allie?
Over the next several days... He was rooming with a naked rake guy, and now they're in a band.
Yeah, that makes sense.
He dismembered his father's body.
Kevin, this is just put the article down. You don't understand the segment.
And dumped the remains between a construction site and an abandoned golf course.
That could have been anywhere.
That's what came up for my birthday. What do you want from me? I know it's supposed to be funny.
That could have been for... My guy was named Ben Dover.
My guy had a naked body, and he... put stuff in a swamp.
Yours are better than mine. My guy hacked his dad to death.
Oh, unbelievable. Let me look up another one for me.
Please, let's have another positive.
My birthday was on 9/11. Let me see what happened. Jesus.
Just after 8 o'clock, Jeff Tremaine coming in studio talking about his movie about Motley Crue called The Dirt.
Honestly, how are they all not dead?
How are they all not dead the first year?
I thought that, like, every 20 minutes watching the movie, I'm like, here's where they die, even though I know they're all alive.
You know you're in trouble when heroin is not your most regrettable thing.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there is things in this film that are very crazy.
It's like they were trying to die every day of those however many years it was.
Yeah.
And we're unable to do it. Yeah.
I'm never going to a pool with Ozzy Osbourne. I'm just putting it out there.
I mean, I guess that's a good policy.
No matter what you're thinking, it's not as bad as what actually happens in the movie. Trust me.
All right, let's talk to Ashley Escada, who is a senior editor at CNET. Good morning, Ashley.
Hello, friends.
Hi.
Hello.
How have you been?
I good. Knocked up.
I'm sorry?
Is it good? Knocked up? Like, it's hard.
It's hard.
Is that baby, like, totally taking everything out of you?
Yeah, yeah.
It's
literally sucking the life out of me right now. I feel like, you know, I will say this. I feel like I could sleep anywhere at any time. It's like an inadvertent superpower that sucks.
You wish you had that without being pregnant. That would be perfect if you could sleep anywhere at any time. All right.
Totally.
The reason that we have Ashley on is the phone companies and the robocalls. I can't take another robocall. Mm-mm. It seems like you get three or four a day. They're close to your phone number. You just block, 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 and it goes on forever. Is there any hope in this?
Well, joke's on you, KevDog. This is a robocall. I'm calling to actually ask you guys.
Oh, no. We were tricked.
Plot twist.
So this is pretty cool, but it'll take a little while to kind of get out there. So a while ago, the guy in charge of the FCC, Ajit Pai, yelled at all the telecom companies for all the robocalls everybody gets, which you guys, like you said, is super annoying and happens way more often than it should.
In 2018, it says that there were 26.3 billion robocalls.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Damn,
I think everybody got 1 billion.
Is that a kid or?
27 people got 1 billion calls.
Yes, correct. So what's happening?
So AT&T and Comcast are partnering up to use a protocol that verifies where calls are coming from. So it's called the Shaken Stir Protocol. It's a very long acronym. And they, you know, it's telecoms, people who want to sound very cool in James Bond.
Sure.
But really all it is it's basically two different phone companies verifying where a call is coming from.
Oh, okay.
And so you may have seen something like this. T-Mobile is starting to roll something out similar to this, but it only uses its own network. It's called Name ID. So you can see exactly what company or what person owns the line that it's on. But with T-Mobile, it's just people who use T-Mobile because they have that data.
Gotcha.
So with Comcast and AT&T, they are able to sort of talk to each other and verify, like, oh, this one is from, you know, AT&T says this call's from so-and-so, and then Comcast can say, oh, yeah, that's correct. That information is correct.
And if that happens, the call comes through.
It'll come through anyway. So if it's
on, but it's
how is this supposed to help?
Boo, Ashley!
Boo!
And your kid!
And your dog!
It'll come through anyway, but it will say unverified, so you know not to pick up. And so they're saying it should get better as more telecom companies all start working together to verify where calls come from. So it might get to a point where if all of them work together, they would be able to then say, well, if it's unverified by all five of us, clearly it's a call that you should not accept, and we can just automatically block that.
Okay, and that's how far away? Because I thought this article was like, oh, great, they're making some great strides in the robocall thing. We're going to have many fewer.
I feel like the internet kind of got you on that one. Oh. Might be a little bit clickbaity.
Oh, God. I thought we were finally free.
It'll be a minute. Oh. It'll be a minute.
And by a minute.
It'll be a while.
Years. This didn't work at all.
Wow, I was just so excited.
Way to go, Ashley.
Ashley, can I move you on to something that excites me a little more that I think will have a lot of info out?
Please.
The Google, has a video game system coming out, and I only saw the headline, and I need someone like you to explain it.
So it's not quite a system. It's called Stadia, which is sort of like a little abbreviation they did for Stadium. Mm-hmm. And this is a game streaming service. And what Google is saying you'll be able to do, they made a controller that you'd connect to their servers via Wi-Fi. And you would be able to open a Chrome browser and play any game, no matter what kind of graphics card you had, on your phone or your laptop or PC or anything that has a Chrome browser. You'd be able to play it in, if it's available and offered to you, at 4K, 60 frames a second, which is, and it's a pretty impressive. They've done some experimenting, some beta testing with Project Stream, with Assassin's Creed, and it worked pretty well. So this is now like the rollout of that streaming service.
So will those games will be on the on the Google? Like, I'm confused about that. So, like, I don't, like, yeah. You said Assassin's Creed. That's a game that's on, you know, obviously on consoles. So are these games going to be exclusive to Google?
They, they're hoping that developers will make games exclusive to Google Stadia. Mm-hmm. But there will also be games, just like every console, there will be games that are cross-platform and things like that. But it's kind of a weird thing because they're like, okay, here's this really awesome game streaming service that we're going to offer. We have no idea how much it's going to cost you. We haven't really heard about pricing, and details are a little bit scant. And I think they're going to probably talk to us about it in the summer. Mm-hmm. But they're saying the idea is the games are on Google servers, which are super high powered machines.
Right. Yeah.
And so you don't have to make the investment in the machine. So the idea is that you would be able to not have to, you know, in a perfect world, you'd never have to upgrade a console or buy a new PC or a new graphics card every couple of years.
That's pretty cool.
Is this the way everything's going? Like, will everyone eventually just host it
like the Sony PlayStation host or, you know, Xbox?
Will everybody go that way?
So those companies actually have game streaming services now. So Xbox has Xbox Game Pass, where you're able to play games, but you do have to download them to
What I mean, into your hard drive. So then Google's taking that away, though. Now you could basically play from the cloud.
Yes, and the idea is they're saying, like, so they want this to kind of tie into YouTube. So because streamers are obviously a really big deal on YouTube games, especially for video games.
Sure.
And so what they want is for a streamer to be able to set up a live stream and say, I'm going to play Doom Eternal, which is a game they showed off at GDC. Mm-hmm. And so that person starts playing, and you happen to tune in, and you go, wow, that looks really cool. And so you pick up your Stadia controller, and you log in to your browser, and you go, I want to play Doom Eternal. And
That's
within
crazy.
5 minutes, you're playing that game. At that, you can even choose to start playing at the point where that streamer is playing, which is really neat.
Yeah, and your controller's just in your bag. Like, you don't have to, you can carry basically a video game system everywhere you go.
That sounds awesome. When is that going to happen?
So they're rolling this out, and they said they'll have more details this summer. And I think the one hindrance that might be a problem is that your internet connection has to be a little bit quick. So if you're in a more rural area, it might be a little more difficult. They want 25 megabytes megabits a second. Sorry if I'm mixing that up. I have really bad pregnancy brain. my brain is only slightly functional now. You're going to have a pretty solid internet connection. So for some more rural areas that don't quite have the, you know, consistency, it might be a problem. But for most people, it should be relatively attainable. I think they're kind of banking on the fact that this will be something that people will use, but they're really banking on the fact that maybe 5G will kind of
So we're waiting on
robocall hell.
We're early on Google Stadia.
Slightly early. And they'll have a beta and you can test it out and everything. So that's actually a thing. Like, I think people should definitely try.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, basically, the only person that's going to have a good time with these things is Ashley's kid.
That's true.
it's so true. Yeah.
You can follow Ashley on Twitter at Ashley Esqueda or at CNET. And she is the creator and the host of Stream Economy on CNET. Ashley, you're the best. Thank you for coming on today. It is 7:53. Hallie McKay is here. What's happening?
Well, during this What's Happening on Friday, we like to talk about our Kevin and Bean That's My Jam playlist. And essentially, everybody on the Kevin and Bean Show adds a song a week to this playlist. Something that we're just hearing about that we're like, this song is awesome. Or something that comes across, maybe your shuffle, and you're like, oh, forgot about that song.
Totally forgot how great that was.
Let's bring that back for a bit, and then we talk about why we picked it, that type of thing. But you can find it at Kevin and Bean on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram. You're going to find our playlist. There's a lot of songs on it. about 5.5 hours, maybe almost close to 6 hours now, of music for you. So just press shuffle on that bad boy. Of course, click the follow button on the That's My Jam playlist so you don't even have to worry about it or think about having new music in your ear holes every single week.
It's good fun.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. First up, let's start with Kevin. What is your pick?
I'm going to go back to one that I heard and I was like, wow, I forgot how good that is.
Yeah?
Limp Bizkit.
Hey, what? Limp Bizkit.
Hashtag biscuit for weenie.
Biscuit
because
for weenie.
We want them at Weenie Roast. We think it would be a blast.
You guys remember the song break stuff.
Right.
I mean, imagine us all at Weenie Roast listening to that song.
Right?
Loving
Sounds
it.
Great.
Loving it. And
hashtag biscuit for Weenie.
I just noticed as I'm looking at the playlist. Christine.
Mm-hmm.
Beer Mug.
Sure.
Chip.
Mm-hmm.
Ruben.
Mm-hmm.
All picked Limp Bizkit songs.
We have a mission.
We're on a mission right now, you guys. All right. Next up is Bean Song. He is not here. He is on vacation in England. Or, of course, he has told us he's moving to at the end of the year. Sucker.
I'm gonna just keep it a bean.
I'm going to keep it a bean, too. He obviously went back a little ways, too. He picked the Sex Pistols' God Save the Queen. God Save the Queen. Dude loves the Queen. I mean,
it's just unnatural.
He's getting a tattoo of the Queen, his first and maybe only tattoo of the Queen in a few weeks, you guys.
I think once he gets this one,
it's
full,
all
full
over.
Sleeves.
It's on. Yeah, full sleeves.
Sleeves,
just a face tat.
Neck.
I love it.
Yeah.
Digs himself some Queen.
Mm-hmm.
Jensen, you're up next.
Gus Dapperton is his stage name. Brendan Rice is his real name. He's out of New York City. He has a couple EPs out that came out in 2017 and 2018. He has a brand new album coming out in about a month. People know him because his song Of Lacking Spectacle was featured on 13 Reasons Why. Also, he looks I don't know, weird's the right reason, but his hair is kind of weird. He has like a green bowl cut.
Oh.
He's sort of, although he's dating model Barbie Ferreira, he does sort of have a gender neutral vibe to him, dresses very 80s, 90s.
Okay.
And I've become a big fan of sort of his, you know, indie stuff. It's really good, indie rock. This song is a little more ballady. It's called Fill Me Up Anthem. It just came out.
He say, my hoe brings home the bacon?
I thought it was hope, but I think the lyric...
I was like, good for you, dude.
Hey, listen, it could be hoe. If so, I'm a bigger fan.
I mean, more power to you, having a hoe that brings home the bacon.
That's great. I like that.
Excellent.
And it's got a bowl cut.
And it's green, you said?
It's green a lot,
okay.
Yeah.
All right, excellent. My pick is from someone that Bean picked a couple weeks ago because he chose one of her songs from her newest album, and he picked a song called Juice by Lizzo. I, too, went with Lizzo just because sometimes in the morning when I start my car, I have my music on shuffle, and I feel like whatever that song that comes up will determine my day.
Oh, no.
It's a very...
What if it's bad?
It's a strange thing. I'm not going to lie to you. But last Friday, this song came up, and I was like, oh, damn. Of course. This song is all about... Your friend breaks up with a dude. He broke your heart. Well, guess what? I got a bottle of tequila. I'm coming over. We're going to boss up and change your life right now. You better get feeling good. And Lizzo is just, there's no bigger boss bitch right now than Lizzo. And she plays the flute. Okay? She plays the flute. This is a woman that just kills it with rapping and singing. And then she played the piccolo from junior high through college marching band. And she will do shows where she is just rapping, killing it, and then all of a sudden she stops, plays the flute, and she's twerking.
That's awesome.
Lizzo is the greatest human being to walk the face of the earth. And this song, I'm just going to say, is a banger. Here's Lizzo with Good as Hell.
Boss up and change your life. You can have it all, no sacrifice. I know we did you wrong, we can make it right. So go and let it all hang out tonight. Cause we don't love you anymore. So walk your fine ass out the door. And do your hair talk, check my nails. Baby, how you feeling? Hair talk, check my nails. Baby, how you feeling?
That's a good group.
I'm just saying.
Jam.
Do your hair toss, check your nails, baby, how you doing? I'm feeling good as hell. Right?
And she put out a new song this week with Missy Elliott.
Sure did.
All right.
I love it. I love it all so much, you guys. Again, it's our That's My Jam playlist. You can find it at Kevin and Bean on all the social medias. Go ahead and click follow. You're going to have new music every week. And again, on this list, one, two, three, six songs from Limp Bizkit.
So hashtag biscuit for weenie.
We want you guys there. Fred, if you're listening, if anyone knows Fred, just say, Fred, weenie roast. Kevin and Bean
want you. He would love to do it.
I mean, we're speaking for him, but I feel like he would.
I mean, we're also speaking for our station, and we're not positive that's...
I mean, none of this is great on our part.
But we're just going to give it a try. Let's make it happen.
We are underdogs.
Correct.
Amen. Some birthdays for you. We have got Reese Witherspoon, Bob Costas, Matthew Modine, Wolf Blitzer, Keegan-Michael Key, Constance Wu, and William Shatner.
This is ground control to Major Tom. You really made the grade. And the papers want to know whose shirts you wear.
I got another minute and a half. Do you want it?
Oh,
if you do.
I think we're good.
I'd rather hear Tom Petty's cover of it.
This is Major.
Welcome to the studios, Jeff Tremaine. Yay! Welcome, Jeff.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Tell us about the dirt.
Well, it's been a long time coming for me. I went after this project, started going after it in 2010.
Wow.
But actually, I would say I actually started going after it. In 2002, we were doing the first Jackass movie,
mm-hmm.
and we were all reading that book. The book had just come out, and we were so into it. We're like, holy crap.
Came out in 2001 about Motley Crue.
Yeah.
It's Neil Strauss, right?
Neil Strauss wrote it. You're talking about a bunch of non-readers passing this book, and, like, really psyched on it. And right then, MTV Films had just got the rights to it,
mm-hmm.
and we were doing the movie with MTV. We were doing our first movie with MTV Films, and this guy David Gale. I just threw out, "Hey man, if you need a director for that." Meanwhile, I had no idea what I was doing, trying to direct my first
punching
Jackass
dudes
movie.
In the testicles.
So I was not qualified then, but. Right after we finished Jackass 3 in 2010, I get a note from my agent. It's like, "Hey, are you a Motley Crue fan?" I'm like, "Oh my god, the dirt's
coming." Yeah.
And at that point, like the Jackass rollercoaster, we had kind of not just all the fun, crazy stuff, but all the drama and the addiction and everything else. I'd seen it all, and I really connected to the book on that level. And I didn't grow up like a super fan of Motley Crue. I like Motley Crue just fine. They were always in the background. I was a skateboard kid and a BMX kid.
Right.
But I connected more on
they could have died at any moment.
They could have died at any moment.
Yeah.
It's just these four, a gang of guys that are kind of always acting poorly expected to be bad and all the drama that comes with, that lifestyle. And so in 2010, I just went all after it, like made a book and a sizzle reel, like a little lookbook that just had all how I wanted to go after it. And so,
yeah, because there was talk of it being a cartoon for a long time. I remember this was one of those books that kind of floated around for a while.
Yeah, it got caught in production. It was cursed.
Like, yeah.
I mean, Like, it stayed at Paramount and MTV Films for until 2010. And
then, yeah.
Julie Yorn and Eric Olsen, they got the rights to it.
And how hard is it casting Motley Crue? Like, that's got to be
seem impossible.
A difficult process.
By the time, now we finally got to that, that was in, 2017? Mm-hmm. We started really casting. And that's after, when we got the deal with Netflix, the only hang up with them was we got to cast this thing right. And that was always our problem. But
yeah.
That's when we got serious about turning over every stone and finding the right young guys. I wanted sort of not super household faces because I thought you'd really feel the wigs. My fear was feeling the wigs, right?
Yeah.
Like if you felt the wigs in this movie, it would look like a big parody in a Halloween costume.
Like a cover band, yeah.
Right. And, you know, just look, this is a tricky movie. Just on the era and the loud scene in that era. It's the loudest of the early 80s, practically, right?
Right. And a lot of people that will see it remember it and live through it.
Right. And
maybe
a lot of,
remember it.
Maybe. Right, but yeah. A lot of the kids today only know that era through Halloween costumes and, mm-hmm. and crappy movies that didn't get it right. So
yeah,
it's
true.
It can easily look like satire. So I was very concerned about that. But we just kind of hired all the right people, the right DP, Toby Oliver. Mm-hmm. All of us were kind of grew up in that era and really cared about telling it and telling it right and making it look right, getting all the right instruments and cars in the background and, you know, just everything about it.
That actually is one of the greatest parts of the movie is the end where you're showing, you show a split screen of the actual performance.
Yeah, that was cool.
And then them there, an actual picture and them recreating it. That was really
cool
to see.
Cool, thanks. Yeah, that was something I always wanted to do. You know, and a lot of those just happened. Like, we didn't really recreate a lot of those performances mm-hmm. shot for shot. But when we were looking through all the footage, we started like,
oh, it
wow.
was, yeah. It
the
was
guys
great.
Really became the guys. That's what yeah. it was.
I'm sure it took a long time to convince Machine Gun Kelly to be a rock star. Yeah,
you know, like casting him, he was really important to me. Not Machine Gun Kelly. I didn't know him very well. But I always wanted to get at least one guy from the music world that's lived this life or at least part of this life.
Yeah.
That would influence the actors and kind of sort of be a accuracy check for us, you know, to make sure that it's authentic. And when he came in, like, he has a Mayhem tattoo on his top of his right wrist. Mayhem, the
for
same font that
Tommy
Lee
Lee's
has
band.
Across his
yeah,
chest.
Yeah.
And on the inside of his left wrist, he's got the Jackass logo.
Oh God!
This is way before he even read the script or
right.
had any idea. So,
yeah.
Like, I couldn't deny
Made
that.
It was destiny,
destiny, right?
For
you
sure. Know?
Sure.
And when he sent me this audition tape. I'm like, well, he is Tommy Lee. He doesn't have to act. I didn't know if he could act or not. I hadn't seen anything he had done at that
sure.
point. But, I mean, he just was Tommy Lee.
Now, it says the co-producers are Tommy Lee, Mick Mars, Vince Neil, Nikki Sixx.
Yeah.
Were they on the set a lot? Were
no.
they giving you feedback? They weren't.
No, they
Because
can't.
I would feel like they would meddle a lot. You know what I mean? I didn't do this that much. That
I was bad. So nervous about that.
Yeah.
Like just them being all over me and being different. I mean, look, I had to win them over. I had to go and present my little book in sizzle reel. I had to get their approval to direct this.
Mm-hmm.
And the first guy I met was Nikki. And you read that book and you get, oh, he's difficult.
Yeah.
So I was nervous for getting in there and meeting Nikki. So I was really prepared. And he was so easy and cool and just.
Is that what I am?
Like.
He's changed a lot.
He changed, yeah, and he kind of figured me out quick, and we had sort of a common, like, he got my vision for it real quick, and I think he saw in me this sort of underdog that he sees in himself, and got on it. He got over the Jackass thing quick, that this can look like a real movie, and then the next guy I met was Tommy, and I had to go sell myself to Tommy, and I'm like, oh, Tommy, I got him. He's one of my boys, right? Tommy grilled me, man.
He is that like, right?
Dude, what do you think? Like, this is not a comedy, man. This is not going to be... This isn't Jackass, man. Like, blah, 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 blah. Made me defend all my choices. Got really, like, aggro on me. And I'm like, oh, my God. Like, I wasn't prepared. Like, I at least...
I would have, of all the four, I would have not expected that.
Me neither, right? And then I get in my car right after that meeting. I was all shook. And I get this text. Bro, this is going to be freaking awesome, dude. And I'm like, okay, man, where were you 10 minutes ago? Like,
I love it.
But they... Truly, like, were available if I needed them. Like, I met with Nikki a few times, Tommy. I talked to Vince and Nick on the phone.
But that's all. Sort of like if you needed them, yes, but they weren't
they
looking over your shoulder.
put their faith that I would get it right, trusted me to do it. Nikki and Tommy came out to set right before we started shooting. And we didn't see them the rest of the shoot. Like they checked in on all the props. And it's funny because they hadn't even seen each other since the last show at the Staples Center 2015. They kind of were very over each other at that point.
Right.
The whole band left and hadn't talked until that day in New Orleans. We shot in New Orleans. And they came out and saw all the costumes and everything. And I think it sort of – it was a walk down memory lane for them and really got them nostalgic. And they sort of – really bonded on that trip and got back together essentially, and then they got in the studio, started recording, and that wasn't ever planned, I don't think.
Man, I gotta tell you that when you watch this, you go, okay, each one of these people is a walking disaster.
I mean, it's a miracle they're still
then
alive.
They get together and they're a group disaster,
right?
And at any point one or all of them could have died. I mean, it's really lived hard.
Heroin was like a reprise.
Right.
That was like the calmer part of the movie. And people who don't know, like who didn't read the book or don't know much about their story, like they have instances like with Ozzy Osbourne at a swimming pool that even if I told you what happened, you wouldn't believe it. It's so disgusting and strange. And I mean, what was motivation behind? I mean, it was just being more punk rock.
Coming
from your world, that even that scene is it wouldn't even on Jackass. You would have been like, "That's too much."
Bro. I don't know, man. Like that's the part I have a handle on. Right?
You have a grip on that.
Yeah, like that. I didn't find that. So I've been there for that.
It was the music that was still.
You know, it's funny. It's like that sort of bad behavior, right? Though it starts at a level, and with Motley Crue and the Jackass guys, like. There's a free pass to like be bad all the time. Mm-hmm. Like everyone expects it, and it just kind of that
it
bar
has
starts
to escalate.
Getting. I would actually go down. That bar gets lower and lower, and it just happens, and to a point where you lose sight of reality.
I feel like it's a little more than a free pass, and it becomes like almost pressure.
Yeah.
To really ratchet
to a degree, that's right. Like you can get caught up and become a caricature of yourself in that, and but you do get lost in that. Like I said, that bar, it's almost. It's not just drugs, right? It's other things that your lifestyle just gets so out of control.
Yeah. Desensitized.
So, did you watch it with them?
So I told you, they left me alone to make this movie, essentially. Right. And I took it very serious. I wanted to make sure that we told this story. Like, I was beholden to the book. Like,
right.
And I wanted to capture the spirit of the book. But I was driving a pretty tight edit of it. Like pretty close to the locked picture, out to Tommy's house to show it to Nikki and Tommy. That's the first time I was going to show it to them. And I got really, I got in my head, I'm like, oh my God, I hope I didn't mess it. Like,
right,
I had no idea.
Of course,
I'm
nervous.
About to show these guys their life story.
Right.
And if someone's making my life story, I am going to be up
in
their business.
Of course.
So, I got real nervous and I gave it to him, and I watched them. I sat behind them and to the left a little bit so I could look at their faces, but not let them feel me looking at them. And at first, you know, like the early part of it where it's really fun and crazy, like they were both like just high fiving and like, that's exactly what it looked like, dude. Yeah, Clark Street. Like even the Starwood, you know, we even got the wood paneling at the Starwood. Mel Jones, our production designer, was so detail-oriented, like on just how she got the chevroned wood paneling in the background. Like, it was really cool. So
they
caught up in all of the nostalgia of it. But then as it starts getting heavier, they start getting quieter and quieter. And by the end, I'm looking over at Nikki, and there's a big tear rolling down his eye. And Tommy's just, like, looking at it, captivated. I got a big hug at the end.
So wow.
That's great.
Oh, okay. That's fantastic.
I'll take it.
That's the blessing.
That's fantastic. The name of it is The Dirt.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Motley Crue story, and it's on Netflix today.
It's out.
Yeah.
So you can watch it today. Fantastic.
You think you know the story, but just wait till the swimming pool.
The story is much crazier even than you think you remember.
Yep.
Jeff, thank you for coming in. I don't know if you watched the LA Kings game last night, but Ron Burgundy was on the broadcast.
Yeah. Hmm. The LA Kings have had many celebrity guests, but they were mere mortals. Tonight, a man who is more man than the rest gets his turn. Because tonight, it's Ron Burgundy night. You stay classy, Los Angeles.
I'm Patrick O'Neill. It's my great honor, my pleasure to introduce...
All right, now just before he introduces him, I want to set the scene. They do a thing called Bark Madness with the pets of the players.
Yeah.
So they're coming out of Bark Madness, and then Jarrett Stoll asks him a question about Baxter, who, of course, is the dog in Anchorman.
Our LA Kings family to Ron Burgundy, the legendary Anchorman who is with Alex Faust and Jim Fox. He's going to be joining the guys for the second period.
I got a dog, Ron, Howie, a golden retriever, and I just wanted to ask you, how's Baxter doing? Cute little guy. What's he up to?
Baxter
is
wonderful. Thank you for asking, Jared. He is, he's put on a few pounds. He actually ate an entire ham last weekend, and I don't know how he possibly did it. There's a shot of him.
Yeah, he looks a little rough right now.
Baxter, of course. Hey, you can say anything you want about me and my family, but you cannot say a bad word about Baxter.
Hey, he's the original Bark Madness champion.
He's the original Bark Madness champion. Yeah, I think he won it in 1979.
Not a lot of people say you can say anything you want about me and my family, but do not talk about Baxter. So then they ask him about coming to the Kings game and why he may have been a little late.
What brings you to a Kings game here tonight?
Well, to be quite honest, and I apologize for being late, I thought you guys still played at the Forum. So I've been down in Inglewood and just driving around.
You should have mentioned that.
I walked in, I spent a half an hour at what I thought was a Kings day. Yeah. It was a Sade concert.
So, it's not the worst thing, so, I guess.
So then he starts doing play-by-play, and he doesn't necessarily know all of the names of the players.
And here we are controlling the puck, passing over to, who is that guy?
That'd be Sean Walker.
Sean Walker, one of my favorites.
Who's that guy? One of my favorites. Then he starts talking about, we're playing San Jose, the Sharks.
San Jose Sharks.
You don't
they
like
are
guys,
94 points, I believe,
Not
right,
bad.
In the Western Conference.
Not bad.
Number four in the league, of course. They have yet to win a Stanley Cup. San Jose Sharks have never won a Stanley Cup.
Could you say that one more time?
Oh, shot on goal! Walker!
He tries to do play-by-play. Now he does some more play-by-play, and their goalkeeper is named Martin Jones. He used to be with the Los Angeles Kings.
See, Kings on the breakaway. Here we have a shot on goal! Saved by Martin Jones. Martin Jones, former Kings player. You know what he does in the offseason? He works with puppets.
He does?
Yes.
Is he a puppeteer?
He's a puppeteer. And I've been to one of his puppet shows. They're actually quite good. This is really a wonderful vantage point.
Now he's talking about how high up the press box is.
You guys must never get sick of this.
Best.
I myself feel a little bit nauseous, and I hope I don't throw up during the broadcast. But if I do, I'm going to throw up right on Foxy.
That's good. That'd be fine. That's okay.
It's happened before.
Jim.
So now he starts talking about Jeff Carter, who he loves.
Oh, big hit by Carter. Jeff Carter, he is a statuesque man. I once saw Jeff Carter with his shirt off in the locker room.
Yeah. What was your reaction?
He's got the goods. Oh, shot on goal!
And now he wants to know about Joe Thornton from the Sharks. This is the final clip. And Joe Thornton, if you haven't seen him, has a beard down to his belly button. It's ridiculous.
Who's 19 for San Jose there?
That'd be Joe Thornton.
Oh, Joe Thornton.
Big Joe.
Duck Dynasty Joe Thornton. That beard. Apparently, someone found a corn dog in Joe Thornton's beard during the intermission break.
That's not all they saw.
There's a lot of old remnants of food in Joe Thornton's beard. San Jose working it around, taking a few shots. But what a... Oh, pass save! And cleared by the Kings. Take that, San Jose. Zero Stanley Cups. Zero Stanley Cups for the San Jose Sharks.
You know what, though? They won 4-2.
Yep.
They were down third period.
Yep.
Handed the Sharks their fourth loss in a row.
Yep.
I think he's good luck.
Ron Burgundy. He should do it every game.
Bring him.
Monday morning, we have all the details at 7:15 on the Kevin and Bean April Foolishness. How about that?
Woohoo!
All the details. A little later this year than usual.
But no, it's still April 1st, so just get your tickets tomorrow.
I mean, it's never really been April 1st.
That's the joke. That's the April Fool's joke. We're doing it late.
Exactly. So we're going to give you all the details. We're going to give you the comedians when it goes on sale, the whole thing on Monday morning at 7:15.
Can we give them a hint?
Yes, we're going to get the hint is that we're going to give you all the details at 7:15.
The hint is bring a tarp because Gallagher's coming.
Oh, do you like watermelon?
I certainly hope so. Tune in at 7:15 on Monday morning. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:52. We love this time on Fridays because we do Keep It 100. So if you text us at 1-800-520-1067, the 100th texter, if we have it in our system, we'll play whatever song you request.
Yeah.
Here are some of the songs that you've requested so far.
Keep it 100.
I got to tell you, Owl City almost ended the bit.
I'm telling
Very
you.
Very close.
We got through it, which means we'll get through anything.
Correct. Yes. If we could get through that, we could get through anything. So I know you're not used to texting your own name when you text something, but let us know who you are and what song you want to hear. And if we have it in our system and you're texter 100 at 1-800-520-1067, we will play your song.
Yeah, and we're going to call you back. So don't be texting all willy-nilly then walking into a bathroom without your phone.
Yeah, and if you're in a library, don't text us.
Exactly.
All right, call now. Text now, 1-800-520-106. Natalie is here. What's happening?
Well, I'm here because you both were off this day. So it was just Bean and I. But we brought up the big bracket on Chris's. So it was called the christening.
Mm-hmm.
So it was all Chris's played March Madness style. So
right. Picking the best Chris.
The best Chris of all the Chris's.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Topher Grace was in there because he's a Christopher, and that rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, and people
sure.
were freaking out.
Yeah, that's
However,
an iffy one.
He made it to the Elite Eight, Topher Grace.
Wow.
So where we were last week when Bean and I talked about it was we had our we were trying to figure out who the Final Four would be. We now know who the Final Four were.
Okay.
It was Chris Hayes. He was going up against...
That's an upset. That's,
that's
be
an
upset.
A huge upset.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought that.
He's from MSNBC, and I will say this about Chris Hayes. He was tweeting it out nonstop to his followers. So that definitely helped him, because he shouldn't have moved on past the first round,
right.
In my opinion. He was taking on a gentleman by the name of Christopher Walken.
Wow.
Okay. Bad. So Chris Hayes, Christopher Walken, who do you say moves on from that to the final round?
Christopher Walken.
Yeah, that's
obviously,
a no-brainer.
Right?
No-brainer.
Obviously. And then it was Chris O'Dowd against Chris Evans.
Chris O'Dowd's got to be a
Chris
shocker,
O'Dowd
too.
Was a huge... A
Chris
huge
O'Dowd's almost the Cinderella.
He absolutely is, because he beat Christian Bale to advance to the Elite Eight, which was him against Christopher Lloyd.
What was the...
happened to Pratt and Hemsworth?
Pratt didn't make it out of the first round.
Oh, that's ridiculous!
Yeah, I'm telling you. Here's the thing. You can find the christening at Zach Heltzel. It's ZachHeltzel. He's a comedy writer. He's a podcast. He put this out and people were losing their minds over it, including Bean and I were fighting on the air last Friday about it. So now we have our final four.
Okay.
Chris Hayes, Christopher Walken, Chris O'Dowd, Chris Evans. I will tell you this. It went down to the two. It was Christopher Walken against Chris Evans.
That's a good... Yeah, that's
okay,
right.
Okay, that's fine.
That's absolutely right.
Four,
of those four.
That's
absolutely.
The way it should go.
That's the finals, yeah.
Okay.
But... Again, I picked the winner at the beginning of the christening, and I said the winner is Chris Evans.
Okay.
As opposed to Kevin, who would think it's Chris Evans and then just leave it blank like he did on his March Madness bracket.
Big gray circle, Chris.
All right, I didn't pick a champion.
He literally picked everything, the final score, everything, forgot to pick the
that
champion,
happened,
you guys.
That's not what we're talking about.
He's currently in the top 4,000 of millions of people.
He's killing it in the country.
Millions of people in the country.
It's insane. You guys, we have the winner of the christening.
Chris
Drum
Evans.
Roll, please. There it is.
Who is it?
Has to be Evans.
Obviously,
do not tell
you
us
guys
that, Evans.
Chris Evans.
Okay.
Smoke weed every day.
Okay, I don't know what's happening.
I don't know if that's part of it. But I have to hand it to Zach Heltzel, who put this out and basically made us all think about all the Chris's.
Sure.
A lot.
Yeah, it's great. And
it
also
was
you
so
think
fun.
Beyond the normal. You know, you always think of Hemsworth, Evans, Pratt.
Yeah.
No. Topher Grace, baby.
Absolutely.
Chris O'Dowd.
Tucker. Who's seen him in a while?
Yeah. Chris Tucker, yeah.
Right?
Mm.
Rest in peace.
Well, he's alive.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Good times, you guys. So that's the winner of your christening.
Congrats.
It is Chris Evans.
Makes sense.
Did you guys read the Emilia Clarke story yesterday in The New Yorker?
Very intense.
Oh.
Craziness.
My goodness.
Who had any idea?
No one. And this just goes to show you have no idea what's happening with people behind the scenes. You see her just killing it on Game of Thrones. She became kind of the it girl of the moment. During that whole time, she just happened to also work in two brain aneurysms.
Which can kill you?
Well, yeah. I don't know the exact statistic, but I'm almost positive it's something like a third of the people with a brain aneurysm die. The other third, they have to relearn how to do a lot of things. And then another third, you catch it, you're fine. Is that a whole? A third? That, third?
Yes.
Sure. Third. Okay.
One. Three,
yes.
One.
That is one.
Yes.
That is one.
Yes. Awesome.
That is one. Congrats.
Awesome. Of course, check my, not checking my math, because that was correct, but check those statistics. But I remember looking
Small
it up.
Weed every day.
When my mom had a brain aneurysm.
Yes.
And after her...
This is turning...
No,
after
her emergency surgery, and she was then in an induced coma because your brain can swell and then you're just dead, they had come in and they said, listen, if your mom pulls out of this, you guys get to teach her how to walk, how to eat, how to talk,
wow,
all of that.
So jeez. Crazy, depressing, and serious.
It is, except when you hear about my mom and then you find out when she came to and the thing she said to the doctor. Can I just tell you what she said to the doctor?
Yeah.
She like looks around and she's like, she can't really talk, and she's pointing, and she basically asked, who has been cleaning the house?
What?
Like, who's been who's been taking care of stuff? And the doctors were like, that was a sentence, that was a thought, something, whoa, this is insane.
That's
my mom is like a little medical miracle.
Wow.
Shout out Cedars-Sinai Medical Center and the surgeon, Dr. Shavink. Anyway, that's
He's
not
listening.
My point.
So
He's
wait.
Definitely not.
She went through two of these?
She went through two of these. Emilia Clarke revealed yesterday in The New Yorker, and it is, I'm telling you, go find it. It is quite a read, that she suffered two brain aneurysms over the course of the first few seasons of Game of Thrones. The first one occurred not long after season one had wrapped, and she was working out, and she said to her trainer, she's like, this is the worst headache of my life. I can't do this. I need to take a break. She crawled to the bathroom, got into the bathroom, violently throwing up, was going in and out of consciousness. A woman
wow.
found her, and she's like, we need to help you right now. That was her first brain aneurysm, and it was a subarachnoid hemorrhage, which is awful. It's bad all the way around. And then the second one happened after season three when she was working on Broadway. This is an insane, insane story.
She was in her late 20s.
Yes, yeah. It's phenomenal. The way she writes is, I mean, she has quite the talent. Not only is she a great actress, this is so amazingly written. But the best part of all of this, as a result of the experience, she has helped develop a new charity called Same You, and it provides treatment for people recovering from brain injuries as well as strokes. So she put the two scariest things you could ever go through in a lifetime, let alone in a couple years,
wow, that's
into
crazy.
Action to help other people. So
that's awesome.
Emilia Clarke is, she's a goddess.
You're right to say, you look at somebody and you go, they have everything?
Right.
Their life is perfect?
Yeah.
Not the case.
I'm reading this yesterday and I'm like, nobody knew any of this.
Yeah.
And she talked about at one point she started feeling it again. She's like, oh no. And she had to do an interview. I think it was at a Comic-Con or something. She had to do an interview with MTV News right after. And she thought to herself, if I'm going to die, it might as well be on an interview. So they have it on tape. And it's a read.
That's
you
a
guys.
Dark thought.
Go and read it. It's a new essay in The New Yorker. Came out yesterday about Emilia Clarke. And it's amazing. All right, guys, some birthdays for you. Constance Wu, Keegan-Michael Key, Wolf Blitzer, Matthew Modine, Reese Witherspoon, Bob Costas, and William Shatner.
Mama just killed a man. Put a gun against his head.
Did you pull the trigger?
Pulled my trigger.
Is he okay?
No, he's dead.
Oh.
Mama.
Wow.
I think we're still trying to get... Oh, there we go. All right.
Nope. Do you want to go to the intro and stuff?
Hey, it's time for Keep It 100.
Mm-hmm. I got to
keep it 100.
Keep it 100, baby.
Keep it 100.
I keep it 100.
I keep it 100.
Keeping it 100.
Keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
I'ma keep it 100.
100.
Keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
You guys, we're going to go to caller 100 in just a second, but really sad for you, Juan. You wanted Radiohead's Paranoid Android, but you were 99, sucker. And then Alex from San Pedro, aw, Butthole Surfers, who was in my room last night.
Well, that's a good song.
Right? That's a great song. He was 101. But we have caller 100, tester 100.
And it's George in Monterey Park?
Yes.
Good morning, George.
Hey, what's going on? Good morning.
What plans you got for the weekend?
Tomorrow I am going to the LAFC game.
Oh, nice.
Very fun.
Kevin, is that upset? You. Oh, I was waiting for it. Does that upset you, Kevin?
I'm sorry for you. have you been texting this song before today?
You know, I try to change it up every couple of weeks. I think I may have texted it a week or two ago, but I try to change it up depending on, I don't know, my mood or, like, what's going on.
All right. So you were in the mood for this one today. You were Texter 100. Would you like to introduce it?
Yeah, this is just a song that takes me back to the 80s and something I like to hear in the morning. And it is The Metro by Berlin.
Nice.
Keep it 100.
Waiting there.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is...
Keep it 100.
That is Berlin and the Metro, Allie.
Yeah.
As is how we do things. Mm-hmm. What year was that released?
It was in the 80s, you guys.
Oh.
Okay, good.
I didn't say a decade. I know, but okay. Usually I have a memory, so I can place it within a couple years because I remember either what car I was driving or where I was at the time.
Okay.
This is a bit before my memories of things like that.
Okay.
So it's early 80s.
Correct.
81 or 82. Or 83.
I'm going to stop you right there.
82. 1982.
I'm going to stop you before you said 82. When you said 81, 82, 83.
Yeah. Okay.
First released as a non-album single in 81.
Okay.
Then sort of remixed and released on their album in 82.
Hey. What?
And then put out on Geffen in 83.
What?
And that's when it charted and went up to number 58.
Suck it.
So you pretty much nailed them all.
Thank you so very much.
Which is fantastic. Good. I don't know how you do that.
Thank you. I picked 3 years how I did it.
It's a shame there's no way to recap things that happened during the week.
Yeah, people miss a ton of stuff.
It is weird that we do so many things and then no one knows what happens at the end.
I know I barely listen.
We've come to another close of the week, my friend, so let me break it down for you as it officially ends. Because Kevin returned from Spain with some new street cred. He almost died from a bus driving on a moped. My wife almost joined him with a cord in the pool. I easily couldn't help, but I was like, nah, I'm cool. And we're taking requests to figure out the best sounds. If you want to hear a drop, I suggest you call now. Thomas Lennon stopped by to promote his work, and Omar made up a story for being a pervert. And when listing CBS shows, Bean yelled bones, and we test in deeper tones. Like Elizabeth Holmes. Marin Dungey brought cookies and a very cute pup. Adam Carolla was scheduled and actually showed up. Schwartz and Middle Ditch both made us all laugh. If you missed that, download the podcast.
Sounds really good that way.
Damn, we had a good week.
Yeah, I mean,
right?
It sounds better than it was. But...
this was a runner. We did well.
I agree. You can get the podcast for any of the days this entire week.
Mm-hmm. Just go to iTunes or krock.com or any of those places you get your podcast.
Or radio.com. Kat Corbett joins us for the final What's Happening with Allie.
Yes. First up, I don't know if you heard about this, Kat, but Cardi B, she's known for making money moves. This one, she has locked up her catchphrase to use on an upcoming line of products. She has filed her trademark. That's her trademark.
So we can't do that anymore?
Well, no. Not if we want to sell things like clothing or paper goods like cups and posters.
I do have one that I trademarked.
Oh, you did?
Oh. Yeah.
Okay.
For t-shirts, mm-hmm. any like pagers. Do they still sell pagers?
They don't sell, but
the King of Beepers does.
Well, yeah, if you get beeped or whatever, you hear this.
That a positive
was, that was me just being a dog. Thank you for that.
Okay. No worries. I own it now. So.
Okay. It's yours. It's yours.
You're going to become rich with that.
Yeah.
You guys, but just so you know, don't think, okay, she trademarked OKURRR. She trademarked that. Let me just get in there and I'm going to trademark OKURRR. I'm going to drop off an R.
Oh, take one off.
Because guess what? She did.
She did all of
she
it.
She did that one too. She's like, you're not going to get me. Okay.
Right.
Now you owe her money.
No. Oh, not yet. Not yet.
That's how it works.
Not yet.
I'll counteract. Just I'll counteract. Hold on.
Good God. It is too much. It's too much. Honestly,
it's like a parrot and a chihuahua fighting.
Someone just started their car right now. Okay.
That's the annoying remix.
That is a lot. It's a lot. Not sure if you caught David Letterman on Ellen, but he was talking about one of his biggest regrets, and I thought it was so interesting. He, of course, is now doing his Netflix show, My Next Guest Needs No Introduction, but he sat down with Ellen, who will be a guest on that show later, and he said, "Here's the mistake I made. I stayed on television way too long, and I'll tell you what happened. It turns out nobody has the guts to fire me, and I should have left like 10 years ago." Oof.
Hmm.
So he thought he stayed too long.
You know what, though? I feel like he's one of those guys that is sort of always overly harsh toward himself.
Right. His own worst critic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he hated stuff that most people loved, and his worst days were better than most people's best days. And I don't know. I feel like that's just part of David Letterman.
Yeah. And I still feel like he went out on top. He didn't stay too long to anyone that watched him.
Yeah, agreed.
So
the quality was still good.
So fuck up, camper, is what we're saying. You guys, I had no idea this was happening, but Donnie and Marie Osmond are ending their long-running Las Vegas show.
Yeah, it's been on forever.
I thought you were going to say marriage.
No, oh, no, they are brother and sister. They are brother and sister.
Doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't. Okay. You're right. They have been playing at the Flamingo in Las Vegas, and they're going to close in November. It was supposed to be a six-week run. This was right after she was on Dancing with the Stars in 2008. It wound up being from 6 weeks to 11 years. It was an 11-year run, you guys.
What?
No idea.
I know because they're big banners outside of the Flamingo Hilton.
Yes.
And because that was the hotel that my degenerate grandparents used to go to growing up. So I always am like, oh, check out the Flamingo. That's where I sat and looked at penguins all day while my parents gambled away the USC money. So I do know anything that happens.
And I've gone to Vegas a lot, and every single time I see the sign and go, who's going to see them?
Right.
Yeah.
I can't imagine, and yet they lasted for 11 years.
11 years worth of people.
What's the capacity of that venue?
Eight
people, so it sells out pretty quick.
Every night they fill it up.
Yeah. I am
two
not
shows
sure.
a night, though.
Every night.
16 total.
Every night they sell 16 tickets.
But you guys, if you think about it, Donnie and Marie have been performing together for over 40 years.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't think I could work with a brother.
No!
I only have two brothers, and I love them both dearly. I don't think I could work with them for 40 years.
For 4 minutes!
It just would be difficult, because you know each other too well, and I don't know.
It's cuckoo. It is cuckoo. And I don't like it, but I do like it. Congratulations on a great run.
Yeah. You don't like it or you do like it?
A little bit like it, a little bit. Okay. Kat, I'm not saying I saved this story for when you were in the room, but I feel like you're going to be on my side with this story.
I'm in.
But a survey conducted by Finder.com found that Americans spent billions of dollars making drunk purchases in 2018.
I am at the top of that list.
Yeah, I feel like you would be too. A poll of over 2,000 adults found the majority admitted to drunk shopping, 52% claiming their purchases were food-related. Which, no, that's just ordering food when you're drunk. That doesn't count to me. But a full 10% admitted to buying cars.
Cars?
14%.
What?
14% booked vacations while drunk. Guilty.
Yeah, I've seen people do that.
Absolutely.
You did that, Allie?
Oh, absolutely.
Wow.
I kind of did that, too, once.
But, I mean, was that like get together with friends and going, hey, let's go.
Yeah, you're drunk and you're like, oh, my God, let's just look at tickets right now. Oh, my God, this is a great deal. Let's do it. And then the next day you're like, what did I do?
Because you have superpowers when you're hammered.
I don't know, guy. I've never been to Tempe.
Sounds good.
It's $40 on Southwest.
And not worth it.
That's true.
And I don't know about you, but have you ever, you know, opened up your door and it's Amazon or someone and you get the package, you're like, no idea.
Mm-hmm.
What is this? Oh, this will be fun, right?
I do that when I can't sleep. Not just when I'm drunk, but when I can't
just
sleep in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Something will show up at the door and I go, what? When did I ever?
That, that happens to me just sober also, just like normal life. What did I get?
Why did I order this cane that turns into a gun?
Yeah.
This is insane.
I guess I own a katana now.
This is amazing. See, I knew I should have saved that for you guys. Okay. All right. Kat.
I can't even get through this.
You have a couple of fun things happening this weekend.
Not as fun as that stuff.
All right.
No, if you want to meet the band Foals, they're playing at the Shrine on Sunday. Mm-hmm. The band is actually going to be in the box office Sunday afternoon from 1 to 3. And so they want to meet.
They have to sell their own tickets?
They want to meet.
I feel like they should have managed.
Seems
they're
rough.
They're going to be signing vinyl. I don't think they'll be selling the tickets.
If Donnie and Marie can sell out every night, they don't have to be in the booth. I mean, that seems
you're right.
Too
I guess
much.
They haven't achieved Donnie and Marie level.
Well, no one has.
With the 8-16 split.
Yeah.
But so they're going to be there on Sunday afternoon from 1 to 3. And you can listen to my interview with Giannis at krock.com talking about cats and foxes and stuff that he saw while he was on break. It's really interesting. Yeah, it sounded just like that.
Anything to do with pets?
Well, it's funny you say that because the K-Rock to the Rescue crew is going to be at the Barks of Love event, which is on Sunday, the third annual, noon to four in Orange County down at the Heritage Museum. So you can bring your dogs and your kids and maybe find your new best friend.
Fun.
I want to say fluffy. That I love this. I love this. I love
Absolutely.
That we do this, and I love the cat
Absolutely.
Does this.
That's awesome. People are getting, on board with the adoption as opposed to, buying and breeding and all that stuff. So it's the way it should be.
It's only funny because cat is filled with hair all over her sweater.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. I told you not to look. She did say, don't look at all the hair on me when she walked in. I'm like...
Which is what do you do then? You specifically look for hair.
It's no more than usual. Cat is just really hairy,
If
guys.
It was a white sweater, you would never know my secret.
And then our little friend Chip has something that's going down on Sunday. What is that, Chip?
I'm a bit of a hockey head.
What?
Yep. And so I've been doing this podcast totally offside for almost a year now. Mm-hmm. It'll be a year in April. And to celebrate the end of the season, my podcast and another podcast, Anaheim Calling, we're putting together a pickup game. They put a team together. I put a team together. It's a bunch of different ages, bunch of different skill levels, mm-hmm. co-ed, and it's a fight to the death.
Oh, we're serious. Wow.
We're going hardcore with this.
My God. Okay.
We have a trophy that has a ridiculously long name for no reason. We decided there needed to be a trophy.
Okay.
But if you want to come and watch this game, it'll be noon on Sunday at Lakewood Ice, which is 3975 Pixie Avenue in Lakewood.
Okay.
Come and watch the game. It'll be a lot of fun and just madness.
Bring a casket.
I'm a pro hockey fight person. I'm into that.
You love like that?
It? Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't help it.
Old time hockey.
Yeah.
That was a line from Slapshot. Hey, everybody. Good jazz. Some birthdays for you. We've got Bob Costas, Matthew Modine, Wolf Blitzer, Keegan-Michael Key, Constance Wu, Bob Costas, Reese Witherspoon, William Shatner. And that's what's happening. Enjoy your weekend. Go out and see us.
Exactly. The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win with Stryker's commercial free-for-all during your drive home today on the world-famous K-Rock.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Hey, now.
Do not. Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Hey, boo.
Pass it over to me.
I can't fix stupid.
Roll another one.
Mommy, Daddy, are you getting divorced?
Just like the other one.
You don't care about that.
This one seems to be about quit. And I need another hit.
Who are these crazies, these lunatics that are going to be here? Explain them to me. Because if I'm going to do some kind of a dumb dog and pony show, I'm going to know who I'm talking to.
Take two.
Roll.
My nipples are so hard.
Just like the other one.
Hey, what the hell's that? What's up with that?
This one seems to be about
this. Ask Tori Spelling's mom.
And I don't have another cent.
I don't like them putting chemicals in the water that turn the friggin' frogs gay.
What a satisfying conclusion of that story.
Just pass it around.
Yeah.
And don't bogart that joint, my friend.
And that's enough said about that.
Well, just pass it on down.
Like, I'm just fed the f*** up. I can't take another minute of this bull.
Oh, God, they're so evil. Just please, God, free us from them. They're drunk on our children's blood, for God's sake. Okay, I'm going to stop right now.
Excuse me, everyone. I quit. So there's that. Whoops, you know what that means. It means our time is just about up.